If you would this morning, flip over in your Bible to Psalm 78. That's where we'll be this morning. And as we look at this week, we talk about there'll be much to do about our nation this week, which rightfully so. I don't disagree that we shouldn't talk about our nation, the independence of our nation, our forefathers, and what's going on in the last few years, and actually what's happened, you know, over a period of time here is it ought to be concerning to you, and it ought to be something that each year that you don't take it lightly that you're able to celebrate your independence, because it sure seems that there's a an attack on our independence, our freedom to worship, our freedom to do the things that we do. And you know, as I looked upon this and as I studied, crazy thoughts come into my mind a lot, and my wife will tell you that crazy thoughts come into my mind a lot, and sometimes I say things that don't make sense a lot of times. And as I do those things, it's almost like, remember the old the old cartoon of Fox and Hounds, and there was a one of the Willoughby was the hound, and he would ask George all the time. He'd say, "Which way did he go, George? Which way did he go, George? Which way did he go?" And little did Willoughby know that that George was the fox, that was the sly fox that he was outwitting the whole time. I mean, he was the one that he was hunting, and he was right before him. And I thought to myself, as I thought about our nation, and I asked myself, where did America go? Where did the America that I once knew, that I grew up in, where did it go? And you know, I sit around, I can't find you. I can't find it in any of the things that I used to see that was out there, and the things that go on, the things that I grew up with, and we'll talk about those a little bit, and we'll talk about some other things. But we can see that our Bible is definitely it's a history book. You know, while it's God's inspired word, it's a history book. It provides a history of creation, from God's creation in the beginning until now. And we learn a lot, about, life. We learn a lot about the things through history. History is very important. And a lot of people want to tear down our history and the things that have happened. And I can't help some of the things that have happened that were bad in history, but history is history. And we learn to live from that history, and we learn to make better decisions from that history. We have a history of Israel here that they did a lot of bad things. But you know what? They're put in there for us to further ourselves and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at this, thank you, Kelly. this stand before we, because we've got a little time this morning, and let's read a few verses in Psalm 78. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Father, we ask you to bless this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our country this morning. And Lord, what you've given us. I just pray, God, that you would stir our hearts and let us see our need for the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. It's in His name I make my prayer. Amen, and you may be seated. There's a concern not only for the America of today. If you got any salt in you whatsoever, you ought to have some concern. I didn't say fear. I said you ought to be concerned about the things that are going on around you. You heard preachers preach on it. 20 years ago, I remember when we first got married, and you heard preachers, what will America look like 20 years from now? Well, here's what America looks like 20 years from now, and I sure don't like it. I don't like some of the things that I see that's going on. And then I stand here today and I say to you, what will America look like 20 years from now if the Lord prevents His tarrying? He tarries for longer. I tell you, we are in a situation and we're in a place that is definitely a place that I don't like for us to be. It's a place that I don't want my children to be in. It's a place that I don't want my grandchildren to be in. It's a place that I would rather the Lord come on back and take us on out of here and be done with the things that are going on down here, because I know that God has something better prepared for us. You know, America has enjoyed one of the top economies. America has been blessed beyond anything anybody could have ever imagined us to be. But America's been on top of other things as well. Divorce, abortion, destruction of family values. You can go, the list goes on and on for what America is tops in that's not good either as well. What we need in today's time is to leave our children something, something that's a legacy of godly values and good morals, and rather than a nation of great value and worth, we focus on the things that we can squander away in a godless society this morning. You know, America just didn't happen. This was in God's plan all along. And we think that this, we have no idea what history provides, but America was a gift from Almighty God. You go back to Genesis 9:27, He said He would enlarge Japheth, did He not? He said that He would enlarge us, He would enlarge that and bring this over and make America what it is. And the American dream of yesteryear was placed into the hearts and the minds of our founding fathers by God. God orchestrated that, just like God orchestrated the men that composed your King James Bible this morning. God orchestrated all the events that led to the culmination of the nation that we live in, that we call America today. And God was the orchestrator in that. But we see how God had blessed the nation of Israel as we read here in the Psalms, and as you read in Exodus, and you read throughout the Old Testament how God had blessed Israel, and time after time He uses the word nevertheless, nevertheless, nevertheless. God saw that He had. But what did God do? God, number one, He gave them a law. God gave them a law to live by. And God gave them a land to live in. And then God gave them a Lord to have lordship over them. And we see that. But Israel, what did they do? The same thing that we have done here in America. They defiled the land. Look at what we're doing to our land today. Defiling the land that we live in. What are we doing today? They denied the Lord. What do? We deny the very Lord that created us this morning. We don't believe in the God of creation. We've made other false gods. We've brought the false gods into our lives. And what are they? They've disobeyed the law. They disobeyed the very instructions of God. And what do? We disobey the law in the things that we do in society on a daily basis. The things that are going on out beyond the doors this morning. And the things that are happening in our cities. The things that are happening in the back roads. Disobeying the laws that God has and the precepts that He has put before us. How for shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according unto what? Thy law and the laws that are there. And they defiled all these things. And we see here in Psalm 78 that there's a great parallel between Israel and America. And we can learn from the things that are written in Scripture and in God's Word. And there's a few things that we need to do. Number one, we need to examine our history. Look at 4-6 what He says there. He says, we will not hide them from their children. We hide our history. Why are we hiding our history and the things that have happened? God said that we're not to hide them. He told them not to hide them, showing them to the generation to come and the praises of the Lord, His strength and His wonderful works that He had done. For He established a testimony and appointed that law that He should make them known to their children, to this generation, to that generation, to that generation. We failed in the generations before us is what we've done. It's nobody's fault but mine. It's nobody's fault but yours. I can take part of the blame, but I can't take all of the blame. We haven't instructed the generations that have come along of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings that He's provided in our lives. We haven't examined the history that's there. And you know what? The fathers are the ones that have failed. He says it right there in that chapter. The fathers are the ones that are to pass that history on down to their children. The history of the Scriptures, the history of the spiritual matters that are there, the history of the things in their life that they need to know, their roots, and our roots have been cut off. And you know, when you cut away the root, what's going to happen to the fruit? The fruit is going to die. And that's what has happened to us. We've been cut off at the very root, the foundation. Jesus said there's no other foundation that can be laid, which is Him. And we build upon that foundation. We build our homes. We build our relationships. We build everything that we have upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. No man can build on any foundation that's going to be any more structurally sound than the Lord Jesus Christ. God holds our fathers responsible to teach that history. And we can see in 5 through 6 that it goes from parent to child to grandchild. And we pass the baton off. And as I grow older, my job is to pass the baton to Andrew. And Andrew's to pass the baton to his. Jimmy's to pass the baton to his. And so on and so forth. And as it goes down the line. And that's how it goes. And that's where we've lost a generation today. And we have a generation that's in danger of dropping the faith that's been passed down from generation to generation. There are no more Brother Muncies. There are no more Brother Guilers. There are no more Brother Ruckmans. You can think whatever you want about some of these old men of Christ, but they did not care. They got up. They stood in the pulpit. They were leather lunged. They preached the Word of God. They believe what God said in that book right there, and that's what this generation of kids needs today. They don't need any more of the foolish stuff that goes on all this social media, whether it be Facebook, whether it be whatever Brother Muncie calls some of them. I don't know what he calls them, but I don't know them all either, and could care less about them. What we need is some more Bible today. We need some kids that know how to recite some Scripture, that can recite Psalm 1 through 6, and chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, we need some that know John 3:16. We need some that just need to know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We teach our kids everything but the Bible this morning. And what we need to do is have some Bible in their life, have some prayer time in their life, and let them know that their fathers love the Lord. And if they see you praying, if they see you reading, then they'll do it as well. That's where we fail. We fail this generation. I failed my son in a lot of ways. But you know what? It didn't stop me. I didn't quit. I've tried. And that's what we've got to do as Christians this morning. That's where our nation and our history comes from. That's what I want my legacy to be to him, that my dad loved the Lord. My dad loved me. My dad loved his family. My dad loved his church. My dad loved his pastor. He didn't bash him. He didn't do all this. He loved the people in the church. He loved his word. I saw him reading that word. I know how much that Bible meant to him. I've got his Bible. I've got his notes in his Bible. He passed them down onto me. I can take this book right here and know that my dad loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves souls. Fathers are to teach. You know, America's Declaration, let me give you a little bit about the Declaration of Independence. The Independence was a declaration of independence from earthly absolute powers, but it was also a declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. Amen. Our declaration begins by acknowledging what? Our Creator. Well, go figure that. Our founding fathers believed in creation, but we cannot teach creation in our public schools today. Go figure that one out. Now, that's a
The fool has said in their heart that there is no God. That's the only verse that comes to mind on that one. Our Declaration of Independence closes by including with a firm reliance on the protection of a divine providence. A divine providence is a synonym for Almighty God. James Madison, the chief architect of our federal constitution and the fourth president of the states, stated that the future of American civilization was staked not upon the power of government, but upon the capacity of each of us to govern ourselves according to what? The Ten Commandments. And we can't even post the Ten Commandments up anywhere anymore. And he said that. Madison said that. In George Washington's inaugural address, he sought the blessings of God and proclaimed our need for God. In 1820, Daniel Webster confirmed that our founding fathers sought to incorporate God in all their institutions and throughout government, civil, political, and educational. John Quincy Adams stated that the highest glory of the American Revolution was that it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. President Andrew Jackson stated that the Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. Our founding fathers believed in the separation of church and state and that there had no national denominator, but they never believed in the separation of God and government. Never. Never. God is there, folks. And that's history. That is history. You read right here, there's a parallel that Israel, they provoked the Lord Jesus Christ. They had their other gods, they had their other things. And we can see that the judgment of God came on them time after time after time. And why in the world do we think that we're any different here in America after we've received the blessings of God and He's blessed us like He has, that we throw Him out of everything that we do in life and that we're not going to be judged for it? I don't understand it. You know, and not that I endorse any of these, but I want you to think about the generations that's happened. my parents' generation, they grew up with, and I'm going to, you all know that I love Lucy and Father Knows Best. My generation grew up with HBO and MTV. Now, this is just television, okay? The next generation has grown up with online chats and social media, talking with strangers on computers, and all the other vile things that go on with that. God is laughed and mocked and called out of bounds by today's generation. What's going to happen to the generation that comes after them? What can be next that can be any viler than what's going on in our society today? We need to remember that our churches were founded upon the Bible, the inspired, infallible Word of God. Jesus Christ and He only is the Lord of His church. There is a hell to be shunned and there's a heaven to be gained. Sin separates us from God. Judgment is sure. And Jesus saves this morning. Jesus will save you. And we don't teach these things. We've become oriented in a program or what we're going to do and the things. And I appreciate what Brother Sam said. We may not do things all puff and tough and, you know, all in an order. But you know what? I know God's a God of order. But you know what? I'm here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that deserves all the credit, not me. I told you in Sunday school, for those of you, the servant that was there, he gave all praise, honor, and glory to his master. You come to serve your master this morning. I'm not your master. Brother Muncie's not your master. The folks that sit in the pew are not your master. The Lord Jesus Christ this morning, if you're saved, is your master. And that's who deserves all your honor and your glory this morning. That's why our nation is where it's at today. And not only do we need to examine our history, we need to renew our memory. We forget sometimes, you know, the things that have happened and the things that have gone on. It's easy to forget the blessings of God. Look at verse 9 in this same chapter. Now the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying back, turned back in the day of battle. Now, if you study this out, it's probably, it doesn't tie to any of the Old Testament chapters there of what Ephraim did. It's more of a tribulation passage of what's going to happen to that group in the tribulation period. But we can use it as a parallel to us in they were the dominant tribe. America has been dominant for many, many years, okay? We are, you know, every president, whether it be our current president, the former presidents or what, they get up there and when they get behind the podium, they talk about when they're doing their addressing the nation that we are the most dominant in the world. We are we're the world power. We're the one where all the dictates come from and so forth and so on. They may have been the strongest or the most numerous, but they were the ones that got defeated. They're the ones that's left out in the book of Revelation. They're the tribe that's left out of it. They had excellent military equipment, but they forgot. And we today, it's like we suffer from amnesia of what the things that have gone on in our world and the things that have happened. And those that want to rewrite our history. I don't want to rewrite history. I can't help what happened there, like I said. But there's one thing that I can do. I can learn from the history that's here, and I can make better decisions moving forward, and I can make decisions that are pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that pulling 10 commandments out, that pulling prayer out, that pulling all the things that have to do with God out of our society is not the answer that we need to have. America is provoking God this morning. Look at verses 17. It says, and they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, could God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Rather than thanking God for His blessings, they're mourning more and more. And that's what we as a society to do. We gripe, we fuss, we complain, and we are blessed beyond blessings this morning. We've all got, if we're sitting here this morning, we've got more than anybody could ever ask for. Now, we may live in a different economic level a little bit, but you know what? We've got more. Trust me, I've been to a place or two where I know we've got a lot more than they've got. And you better thank your lucky star, thank the good Lord this morning that you've got what you've got. Because it's only by God's blessing that you got it. America, we roll in luxuries, we revel in excesses, we reel in drunkenness and all the things that go with it, and we are rotten to the core. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 1 John 2:6, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 Peter 4:2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. The lust of the flesh has affected our memory and the things that God has done for us. The other thing that's affected our memory is the lure of the world. We not only have we broke God's law by provoking Him, we provoke God God's broken His heart by forgetting Him. They limited. It says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, basically, that word "limited" there, I looked it up, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but they said it means a horizon. And if you go to a high place and you'll look around on it, you'll see a circle, which is the horizon. And they basically told God to stay within this circle and don't you go out of this circle. And that's what we kind of do. We come to our church. Now, God, you come meet with us in church. But when I go out here, you stay in that little circle that's over there and don't go with me out into here. You stay over here. I don't want them to know this. I don't want them to know that. Or I don't need you in this aspect of my life. We've limited God. You know, we are the ones that have limited God. And I point the finger at myself. I've limited God. God can use, just like He used Moses, He told Moses, He said, it don't matter. You go speak. I'll find a way for you to speak. He made excuses. We make excuses in everything that we do, whether it be playing the piano. I talked to Miss Cackler yesterday, and she was so excited that she has the opportunity to play an offertory for our church. Amen. She said God had used that as an opportunity to make her use her talents that she had, that she had laid down and not using no more. You know what? We oftentimes, we limit God. We have the abilities to do something, but we limit the God that we serve by not giving in to what God wants us to do. We as America have done that. We've limited God. God could have protected us from a lot of the things that have gone on. From a lot of the things that have happened. God, not that we don't know the ending of the book. Trust me, I know what it says in the book of Revelation. I know what's going to happen to the world. But you know what? I want to live the best I can in this life, and I want God's protection. And do you not think that God wouldn't protect His people during the times like these? But it's because of the sin in our life. It's because of the sins that we've let enter our lives. It's because of the sins we've let enter our society that He allows things to happen. We've limited God. The lies of the devil have affected our memory as well. They forgot the one true God who founded them in the nation, and they started worshiping false gods. Man, we've got the false gods out there of this world. We have a parade for everything anymore. There's a parade for everything that is coming and going. Definitely during this time, I've got tired of parades. Every time I looked out my door, there was a parade. I thought the neighborhood was on fire about every day of the week for all the things. And I'm not against it. But what I'm saying is that we've got our idols in this life, and we've succumbed to them, and we've believed the lies of the devil that we're okay, and we're not okay. You're not okay. Our nation is not okay. And there's I'm not saying that I don't love America. I'm not saying that I'm not optimistic that things can't get better. But I can tell you this: if we keep limiting the Lord, then I know they're not going to get any better. Not only do we need to examine our history, renew our memory, we must salvage the legacy that's left. Not only is God our only hope, but He's America's biggest threat as well. He's the God that loves to hate. Now, you know, God hates some things. And you read over in the book of Proverbs, there's some things that God hates. And there's some things that He don't like. And we get tied up, you know, and we talk about the love of God. And no doubt, God loves us. And God loves sinners. And He's long-suffering to those. And He's not willing that any should perish. But I tell you what, He's only going to put up with sin for a period of time. And God's going to... He's going to put the stamp on it, and it's going to be done. And you have an opportunity to make some things right. Our nation was born in 1776. But guess what? Our nation needs to be born again. There's only one way, and it needs to be born again. And I don't know what America's going to be like tomorrow. I know what it's like today, and I don't like it. I know what it was like, and I'm not one of those, you know, one of those that... the good old days. The good old days was when I got saved. That was a good old day. And yes, there's been good times. I'm not saying I haven't had good times. But I tell you what, there's better times are coming. God has promised me that there's better times are coming. And the only way we're going to change some things is we got to change ourselves. You know, that's revival. You get revived in your heart.
Right.
It starts not with... the church as a whole. It starts with you as an individual. That's how things change. You know, they run all those platforms, you know, change, and I can't remember who had that in their mind. It may have been Jimmy or somebody or Brother Brad or something that talked about that their whole platform is, we need to change, we need to change. You need to change. And the change you need to make is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the change that has to be made. As I conclude, America's not going to save you, and America's not going to get you to heaven. And you know what? It would be a tragedy to live in a God-blessed land like you've lived in, you've been born into, and then spend an eternity in hell. That would be a tragedy. You have had the opportunity to hear good preaching, to hear God, well, I shouldn't say good. You've had the opportunity to hear this preaching this morning, good preaching in the past. But to live in a God-blessed land like you've lived in and hear the gospel proclaimed and hear the simple message of salvation that Jesus loved for you and He gave His only begotten Son for you and that whosoever should believe in Him and call upon His name, they can be saved. It befuddles me and in my little minuscule mind why people can't take that little simple plan of salvation and say, that has to be true. It has to be true. There's no other way that it could have happened other than by God. And I don't understand it. But, you know, God has taken the foolish things of this world and opened them up to some of us that we can see them. And then He takes the wise and He confounds them with the foolish things of this world. And I told you this morning, I ain't got a PhD behind my name. I ain't got an MD behind my name. I ain't got nothing. My name's Mike Flynn. And you know what? That's who I am. But I thank God that He's given me a mind that's simple enough to believe this word right here. I may not understand every bit of it, but you know what? I believe it. Because I believe that He has saved my soul. I believe I'm as saved this morning as anything. I believe God has promised me in John chapter 14. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be there also. And I believe without a doubt God has got my place prepared for me. I know that He does. These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Brother Dan Davis said it for years. I love the way God all lays it out in the language, Brother Dan would say. He said, it's past, and he said, I already know He's done it. He said, it's present. He said, it ain't nothing you can do about it. It's written. It's done. God has done it. He wrote this book so you could know that you've got eternal life this morning. If we need God in America, how much more then do we need God in our hearts and in our lives? If you're not saved this morning, I pray that you make that thing right. Because there is a day coming, and God says that the next thing on His calendar is the rapture. You go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 through 18, the end of that chapter, you know what's going to happen. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and those that are alive and remain will be called up to meet the Lord in the air. There's going to be a period of time there, and there's going to be a tribulation period. I think it's spoken of. I think it's going to happen. And at the end of that tribulation period, God's going to wipe it out, and there's going to be a 1,000-year rule and reign of Christ here on this earth. And then afterwards, for a period of time, He's going to cast the devil and his angels into the lake of fire, and then there's going to be an eternity. I don't know where you stand with that, but I pray that you're putting your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You're not going to be in that place if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. And I'm sorry to say that, but there's something that you can do to change that, and that's come down here and ask God to come into your heart and be your Savior this morning. There's something else in your heart that you need to make right with God, then you ought to do that this morning. You know, no change is going to happen in your home. No change is going to happen in your work. No change is going to happen in your family until you change yourself. You can be the one to change it in here and let God lead you by the Holy Spirit as we stand to our feet.